Everybody, you can tell it's fall, right, in the valley, not just the banners. Here in the desert, the license plates change color. Anyway, enough of the humor. Good morning, welcome, delighted to have you with us. Eddie Galindo's visiting us from Utah. Yeah. Also, we want to say hi to Roy Moore, who's watching online. He had hip surgery 2 days ago, so pray for Roy. Also, our brother Ralph Lancaster, who's close to going home to be with the Lord. And sometimes I'm almost envious, you know, to see Jesus face to face. That's the hope that we have, isn't it? Yeah. Well, we're going to get right into God's Word this morning. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We love to give Bibles out here. So if you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We're going through the good news of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17 this morning. This book has been so timely, I'm amazed. I shouldn't be surprised. You know, with what's going on in America and throughout the world, prophetically and sometimes pathetically, I'm just blown away where God has us. I don't have to do topicals and try to tie everything in. You tell me after we finish this morning if this doesn't apply to right where we are today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth in a world that's filled with fake news and all this other stuff we're dealing with. May we stay anchored in your word. Your word is truth. It's the truth that sets us free. You're the way, the truth, the life. And so this morning with open Bibles and open hearts, I pray that you would feed your sheep, Lord. It's your word. I'm just the mailman delivering the mail. And I pray in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would give us a good meal this morning of the milk, the meat, and the manna of your precious word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Are you ready? When the Son of Man comes, Jesus said, will he really find faith on the earth? Wow, that kind of challenges me to be watching and waiting and working and witnessing, because we are really, really close, as we'll see in a moment. Last Sunday, as Jesus was headed up to Jerusalem, the way to Jerusalem is always up. It's a city on a hill, and he is headed to the cross. The amazing thing about the life of Christ, along the way, he is always eager to minister to hurting people along the way. And he does the same thing today. He has a heart of compassion and grace and love and mercy for all of us, not just the believers, but for the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we should be the same way. We should be open and sensitive and compassionate and gracious and loving and merciful to those that we come across every day. And so last Sunday, he was passing through the area of Samaria. No religious Jew would go to Samaria. If they even touched the sand, they would kick the dirt off their feet before they left. They felt they were defiled by these Samaritans. They were called half-breeds. There were 10 lepers there to make matters even worse. Leprosy, Hansen's disease. A terrible, terrible, terrible disease that actually rots your flesh away. Talked about that last week. 10 lepers who cried out to him and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus, of course, in his love, in his grace, in his mercy, in his compassion, he did exactly what they asked for. Compassion is your pain in my heart. And compassion is your pain in Jesus' heart. We should always be tender-hearted and compassionate to those that come our way. We don't know where people are in their lives. We really don't, do we? And unless we stop and take the time to minister to them, to talk to them, and to encourage them, we'll really not know what they're bearing in their lives. Sometimes I'm shocked when I take the time, when I say, hey, how you doing, to actually listen and to see how they're doing. Because today, how often does anybody stop and listen when they ask you, how you doing? Thanks, have a nice day. You know, I'm going to go kill myself. Oh, good, have a good day. God bless you. You know, We don't listen. Why? Because we're caught up in self. It's all about me. Jesus wasn't that way. He had the cross awaiting him, where he would be brutally beaten and murdered and beat to a pulp and die for our sins. And he was still sensitive to people along the way. Doesn't that blow you away? He had mercy on all 10 of them, and he healed all 10 of them from this terrible disease, even though only one returned to say thank you. One of the signs of the end times is that people will be unthankful. Would you say we're there? Very rarely anymore does someone say thank you and truly mean it. The other 9 had continued on their way. They were healed physically, yet it was only the one, a Samaritan, that went on his way cleansed, not only physically, but from all of his sins. He was healed spiritually because he gave thanks. His faith had saved him, Jesus said. His faith had made him well. And you know what? You can be in great shape physically, but you can be on the inside just dying spiritually. Sin is spiritual leprosy. It erodes your very soul. And the all-important thing for all of us is to be forgiven for all of our sins and cleansed from all unrighteousness. Amazing, isn't it? So this morning, in our first couple of verses, Jesus continues his journey up to Jerusalem. And it says in verse 20, "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, "See here," or "See there," for indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." And so here, he's confronted again by the Pharisees. The term Pharisee means to be a separated one. And yes, so they looked good on the outside, didn't they? They wore all the robes and the phylacteries and the whole thing. They looked very spiritual. But you know what? The real truth of the matter, and this is what Jesus saw, because only Jesus can see our souls and our hearts. Inside, they had spiritual leprosy. And that's true with a lot of religious people today. Oh, they look good on the outside. And they pray in old King James. And they do all this and all that, but the all-important thing, and Jesus challenges us in John chapter 3, are you born again? That which is born of the flesh is the flesh. We're all born physically, but that which is born of the Spirit, Jesus said, is spirit. We need to be born a second time. We need to become spiritually alive, and that's what happens when you give your life to Jesus Christ. But here we are, the Pharisees. We had nothing to do with the lepers. Unclean, unclean. But you know what? Inside, that was the case for them spiritually. They had spiritual leprosy. And as the lepers were unaware of the kingdom of God being in their midst, so were the Pharisees. The 9 guys that walked away had no clue, and neither did the Pharisees. Why? Because right there, in their presence, was the Son of God, and they didn't even see him. They didn't even recognize him. Didn't even know him. The King of the universe, the king that is above every other king, was standing right there. And where were their hearts? They wanted to kill him. They wanted to put him to death. They wanted to stone him. They will be the ones, the religious hierarchy, that will have him put to death, have him crucified. And there was the king, meaning the kingdom of heaven was in their midst, right there. And do you know that holds true this morning? The kingdom of heaven is in your midst. It's within grasp through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can become a child of God. You can become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven if you haven't done that yet by giving your life to Jesus Christ. And so for the Pharisees, the keepers of the law, it was customary of them to ask when a teacher would come through, when the kingdom of God would come. And there he was, right under their religious noses. The Word of God who became flesh and dwelt in their midst. God's Son, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. Wow. But isn't that a common question today? All of a sudden when things begin to turn, people become more religious-minded and heavenly-minded and all. And, you know, it's a quite common question today. when the kingdom of God would come. I have never, ever in my Christian life sensed the return of Jesus Christ so soon as I do right now. Why? Because as we'll see in a moment, when we look at our text, all of the things that Jesus said would happen before his return are lining up. No man knows the day or the hour, but there is a season. And I believe we are in that season. Don't buy green bananas. If you're waiting for Jesus to come today, you won't buy green bananas. And so let's see here in the first couple of verses, 20 and 21, where he says, he was asked by the Pharisees, of course, when the kingdom of God would come. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here, see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Interesting statement, isn't it? Many were looking for the kingdom of God to be ushered in with great power and great glory. Actually, the religious leaders were looking for God to come and overtake the Roman oppression, to set up an earthly kingdom, just to get rid of the Romans. They weren't looking spiritually, they were looking physically. And even the disciples had asked in Acts 1:16, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And now Jesus here in verse 20 tells them that the kingdom of God does not come with observation. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. The original Greek language means it's not going to come with signs. It's not going to come with signs and wonders. God's kingdom would not come with a great outward show or signs. It's going to come in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The harpazo, the rapture of the church. I've heard people say, well, rapture is not found in the New Testament. Yes, it is. The word rapture is harpazo in Greek, and it's found 11 times in the New Testament. We're going to talk about that again in a moment. Are you ready for the rapture? Of course, at my age, I got to be ready for the rupture and the rapture, but one of them is going to come. The rapture could come at any moment, and so could the rupture. It's God that causes your heart to beat in the first place, isn't it? The real tragedy here is that Jesus had been ministering among them for over 3.5 years now, and they had no clue to who he was. They were in spiritual darkness. The Pharisees, the ones he's talking to here, they were blinded. Scales upon their eyes. They did not see who Jesus was. And you know what? There are people blinded today that don't see who Jesus is. Oh, he was a good teacher. Oh, he was a prophet. Or whatever it might be. Fill in the blanks. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. The Bible says very clearly in many, many, many different places, there is only one name under heaven by which you must be saved, the name of Jesus Christ and him alone. There are not many ways. There's one way. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one. How many people is no one? No one comes to the Father except through me. He makes it simple. Even a child can believe. And these little kids up in Sunday school today are hearing the same message. And many of them are coming to believe in Jesus Christ as little kids. That's my greatest regret, that I didn't come to know Jesus as a little kid. Or a teenager. Could have saved a whole lot of heartache and trouble. Not only for myself, but a whole lot of people. But here they are in spiritual darkness. They didn't know who Jesus was. And he had just cleansed 10 lepers right under their religious noses, and they couldn't see. To see 10 lepers cleansed? What would that be like? Just ulcerated, pussy sores, and their ears rotted off, and their noses and everything. And all of a sudden, boom! Perfect. Baby skin. Man, what must that have been like? He healed 10 lepers. He made the blind to see. He made the lame to walk. Hello. I've got a new walk today. I was pretty lame back in the day. He fed 5,000 men, plus women and children, probably about 10,000 people, fishes and loaves. And the Pharisees were there all the time trying to set him up. They missed all of the things that pointed to what Isaiah said, that when Messiah came, he would heal the blind and make the lame to walk and all. And they didn't see it. How sad. How sad it is today. People are looking for signs and wonders. Show me a miracle and I'll believe. And you know me, what I often say just about every week, I am in a room filled with miracles. To me, the greatest miracle that ever can happen to anyone is to become a born-again Christian. To go from being a wretch to being a child of God and a citizen of heaven. There's nothing more awesome than that. I don't need the Red Sea to be parted. I don't need manna from heaven. I don't need all that stuff. For by faith you have been saved through grace. We're just called to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But they missed it. And even as we see on a couple of occasions, one with Lazarus, Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. He came hopping out of the tomb in the grave clothes after he had been dead. And yet these guys, the Pharisees, were there and they still didn't believe. Now Jesus didn't deny that there would be a future earthly kingdom. We know it's called the millennium, the thousand-year reign. But he did emphasize the importance of a spiritual kingdom, a new birth, new hearts. That's what he says when he says the kingdom of heaven is in your midst. You have a new birth, a new heart. All things become new, don't they? Look at the incredible things God has done in all of our lives. We have healed marriages. We have healed relationships. We have people set free from drugs and alcohol and all this stuff. But yet people still don't believe. They look at you and I and go, oh yeah, you needed that. Sure did. But the kingdom of heaven is in our midst. But the hard-hearted Pharisees knew nothing about it. They would teach the word of God, but they didn't know the God of the word. And there's a difference there, isn't it? Oh yeah, you can read the word of God. You can quote the word of God. Satan quoted the word of God. But do you know the God of the word? And the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that Jesus is the word who became flesh and dwelt among us. Don't look for the kingdom out there. Look for the kingdom if it's in your heart. Jesus says, I'm right in your midst, dear. I am your king. How can you enter the kingdom when you reject the king? You can't get into the kingdom without the king. Very simply. And again, it's not like by believing in Jesus Christ, you're just going to be bummed and bored and walk around like you're baptized in pickle juice. No, the opposite happens. Man, you get joy that you've never known before. You've got a love you've never known before. You're excited. You got a sparkle in your eye. You're walking around grinning and people are wondering what you're up to. What are you on, man? I'm on a pill. Really, the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I love to see people wonder, what happened to you? The kingdom is within our midst. But the Pharisees, how sad, you can be religious and not know God. Jesus said, for indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. The word in Greek, within, means among or in your midst. My paraphrase, right under your religious noses. Sad. And so it's so important, isn't it, that we know and that we reach out and we grasp the kingdom of heaven by giving your life to Jesus Christ. Pharisees' view, like many today, was political. They were more involved in Roman oppression and the political things and Caesar and all of that. They were more concerned with the political than the spiritual. How about you? Are you more consumed by politics today than you are Jesus Christ? I hope not. You know that November 3rd may never get here? Yeah, everybody's telling, oh, November 3rd, November 3rd, it's all going to change, all going to change. The trump of God could sound before the Trump is elected or whatever is going to happen. I don't know. I pray for Trump, but I'm looking for the real Trump, the Trump of God to sound, so that we can be harpazo, so that we can be carried out of here. And so be very, very careful. Don't be so politically minded that you're forgetting about your spiritual life, your spiritual walk. God did not create us for a democracy. He created you and I for a theocracy. Did you know that? A theocracy means to be governed by God. And when you're governed by God, everything else falls into place, no matter who's in office. Look what Paul went through, imprisoned and You know, Caesar Nero had him decapitated and all, but Paul was spiritually minded, had his focus on Jesus Christ. And so the Pharisees knew the Old Testament. I was reading this week in preparation. Do you know that there are over 351 Old Testament prophecies that point to Jesus Christ? Yeah, 351. I counted them all. No, not really. But can you imagine pointing to the coming of Christ? The Pharisees fully knew the Old Testament scriptures. They knew when the Messiah came, he would be virgin born. Yeah, they knew that he would be born in Bethlehem, scripture tells us. They knew his coming would be lowly and in humility. They also knew from the scriptures that he would suffer and die, be crucified, buried, and rise again. Ryan and Andrew just taught in the Psalms on Friday night about Psalm 22. Old Testament, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ hundreds of years before it even happened. And that he would rise again and he would ascend into heaven prophetically, and we know that's going to happen. And he's also going to return and he's going to set up his kingdom. Over 351 prophecies pointing to him. So why don't I just read them all to you? Just kidding. And here he is, and they don't even recognize him. Wow. Well, it shouldn't surprise us. What does John 1:11 say? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so having answered the Pharisees, guess what? He's now going to turn to his disciples, his followers, his pupils, who do believe. Look at verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, the day will come, the days will come, when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here, or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part of under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Wow. So now he's teaching them. He's not only teaching his disciples, he's teaching us. He now speaks to his followers, his disciples, about his return. But between his first and second coming, it says the days would come when the disciples would long to see him. Their hearts were broken. He'd been crucified, he died, he rose again, and in Acts chapter 1 ascended into heaven. They missed that intimate fellowship with him after he left, as when he was with them on earth, enjoying sweet fellowship with them. And it would be that during that time, the false teachers and false prophets would arise, saying, he's here. He's over there. Jesus says, don't go after them. Do not follow them. And one of the signs of the end times, I believe right now, is we have many false teachers and many false prophets. People saying that they're prophets that are false prophets. Do you know how to tell the difference between fur and fleece? Whether it's a sheep or a wolf, right here, God's word. If it doesn't line up with God's word, false teacher, false prophet. Because a prophet speaks forth the oracles of God. That's what the term means. And everything should line up perfectly with Scripture. It blows me away when I turn on occasion, religious TV. Oh, man, just off the wall. And how sad it is that there are many people buying into the lies of false prophets today. Why? Because they were ignorant of God's word. We need to spend time in God's word. This will expose the counterfeit, the fakes, the phonies. His second coming will affect the whole world. His return will be as sudden as a flash of lightning in the heavens. How sudden is that? Boom. That quick. And in Matthew 24, on another occasion, The disciples asked, when will your coming be? I'm going to put my ribbon in my Bible. You can, if you would, if you choose to do so, turn left quickly to Matthew 24. Important question they ask him. Verse 4 to 14, I'll just read it through. Verse 3. Now, as he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Look at the first thing Jesus says. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Be careful. Be very, very careful. Be men and women of the word. Because the best way to know the truth is to know the counterfeit as well. For many will come in my name. You know that there are over 75 rabbis in Israel right now that claim to be the Messiah. Yeah. Many shall come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Would you say that's true right now? Israel, by the way, is surrounded by her enemies right now. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And yes, I look around what's going on in the world, but I'm not troubled. Why? Because I know what God says, what Jesus says. We're not to be troubled. We can have the peace that surpasses all understanding, no matter what's going on. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Look at this. There will be famines. Do you know that 2/3 of the world goes to bed hungry? That is so sad. 2/3. And we have pets that are obese. Pestilence. Guess what we're doing right now? We are in a pestilence. Yeah. Incurable disease. Pandemic, we call it. Earthquakes. I have an app on my phone. I watch the earthquakes. We average maybe 1,100 a week. Do you know within a matter of a few days last week, we had over 3,000? Hello. Shake, rattle, and roll. In various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows or birth pangs. Contractions is the word. If you ladies have had a baby, you know what happens. Initially, you get the first contraction. Ooh. And then they get more intense, and then they get closer and closer and closer. Well, you watch the birth pangs. You watch the contractions in the world get closer and closer and closer. Why? Because Jesus said, not me. I'm just the mailman. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Do you know there's persecution? There's persecution in this world right now where some of our brothers and sisters in Christ are losing their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another. Then, look, here we go again. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Would you say that is true today? We are calling good evil and evil good. We are a lawless nation. We are making laws that make wrong right in the eyes of man. Crazy. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. For the first time, we now have the gospel in all the world. About 20-some years ago on a trip to Israel, a tour guide that we had worked for a cell phone company. That's when cell phones were kind of just getting started. And he told us on our tour that before you know it, before, I forget what the date was, everybody, pretty much everybody will have a cell phone in their hand. Would you say that happened? Wow. We're right there. Even with the two prophets in Jerusalem that Scripture talks about that will be seen by the whole world, that could never happen before, but now we'll be able to see it. Cell phones. You can go places and be places within a matter of seconds that you could never go before. And so the gospel, of course, is going out as well. We didn't want to televise our services. God kind of forced us into it by shutting the churches down. But now we got the gospel going out to many places. Just 2 weeks ago, we had 329 hits from Nigeria. Welcome, Nigeria. We love you. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. I get goosebumps just thinking about it. This was not my choice. I've always been told I have a good face for radio. Moving right along. Back to Luke. Be ready. That's the all-important thing. So now, he's going to give us some prophetic scriptures to give us an idea of the season that is coming. And you know what? Like I said, no man knows the day or the hour, but I believe we're in this season. So with that, Jesus uses two Old Testament events to illustrate the certainty and the suddenness and even the season of his sudden return. And you tell me after we look at this, how close are we? The first one are the days of Noah and the flood. The second one, that's Genesis 6 to 8. We won't read that whole thing, but I'll give you some points out of it. And then Genesis 18 and 19, the days of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the fire. In both instances, the people were warned. The people were caught unprepared. They were eating and drinking and partying and marrying and buying and selling. Smoking cannabis. We had some friends who went to a restaurant last week, and they actually had CBD pancake syrup. Man, oh man. Instead of eating the short stack, they're eating five big stacks. Bring them on, man. Crazy, huh? But Noah's day and Lot's day are very much like our day today. Really. Look at verse 26 and 27. And as it was in the days of Noah, and by the way, you've heard me over the past couple of years, and my feelings on churches that say we no longer need the Old Testament. Now, after we look at this, you tell me if we don't need the Old Testament. It was important to Jesus. He talked about Noah, he talked about Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. He talked about Jonah, swallowed by the big fish. And so notice, 26 and 27, and as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Wow. Like I said, we won't read chapters 6 to 8. You can read it when you go home. But Genesis chapter 6 to 8, which I believe are extremely important. I believe the whole Bible is important. They give us the details. In Genesis 6, 5 to 8, the Bible tells us that the Lord saw the wickedness of men was great on the earth. You tell me, is that not true today? Have you ever in your time seen such wickedness on the earth as we do today? I haven't. Seriously. And that every intent of the thoughts of man's heart were only evil continually. Anger, bitterness, just people devouring one another like I've never seen before. This is heavy. The Bible says that the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth. It means he was grieved in his heart with what he saw in his creation. And so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Wow. But you know what? There was one guy by the name of Noah who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God used him. Guess what? He preached for 120 years that judgment was coming. 120 years. A preacher of righteousness, the Bible says. And it tells us the earth in Noah's day was corrupt before God. We've even got it in our own government. Our government is corrupt today. The earth was filled with violence. There's little or no value on life anymore. We've aborted over 63 million babies in America alone. It says all flesh had corrupted its way on earth. You know the story. Noah built an ark. It had never rained before. They were mocking him, laughing at him. What a knucklehead that Noah is. But you know what? The Bible says he did all that the Lord commanded him. All that the Lord commanded him. until the day that Noah entered the ark. All of a sudden, it's beginning to rain. And I almost sense that's not, no, it's beginning to rain. The amazing thing is that there was one way in, one door. And in John's gospel, Jesus says, I am the door. And you can only enter into heaven through me. Even in the Old Testament, there was a picture of Jesus Christ as the door in the ark. And the Bible says that when it began to rain, the Lord was in the ark and he said to Noah, come in. He was in there waiting for him. And he and his family entered the ark. 120 years of preaching righteousness, and only 8 were saved. And do you know the population in Noah's day is the exact same population that we find on the earth today? Coincidence? I don't think so. Only Noah and those who were with him remained alive. Again, they ate, they drank, they married wives. Verse 27, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Wow. Jesus' second illustration, the certainty and suddenness of his return, is again in the Old Testament, Genesis 18 and 19. Look at verse 28 and 29. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Wow. Again, from Genesis 18, verse 20. The Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that's come up before me. You know the story. Two angels showed up at Abraham's tent. And then they said they were going to go down into Sodom and Gomorrah. That's where his nephew Lot was. And it was then that Abraham, being concerned because his nephew Lot lived in the city, came near and asked God, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And you know what happened then if you read Genesis. Abraham says, suppose there were 50 righteous in the city. Would you destroy 50 righteous that were in it? And guess what the Lord's response was? If I find 50 righteous in Sodom, I will spare the place for their sake. But you know what? Abraham didn't even think that there were 50. Why? Because his next statement, suppose there were 45. Then he says 40. How about 35? 30, 20, 10. And you know what? God said, I will not destroy the city for 10. And guess what? There weren't even 10 righteous in the city of Sodom. That's heavy duty, man. I will not destroy Sodom for the sake of 10. There weren't 10. Genesis 19 tells us that God sent two angels to Sodom to check it out. Lot was seated at the city gate. You know what that means when a man sat at the city gate? It means he was one of the leaders in the city. He had grown so lukewarm that he was at the city gates with all the leaders of Sodom hanging out, checking it out. Seated at the city gate with all the leaders. Lot immediately tries to take care of their needs. He sees the angels, he gets all nervous, and he's going to take care of the needs and send them on the way in the morning. I wonder why. Because he was convicted. Because he was busted. And again, when the Son of Man comes, will you be busted? Will you be convicted? Who are you hanging out with? The world? When word got out that there were two men staying in Lot's house, you know this story. Word got out, and the next thing you know, Lot's house is surrounded by the men in the city with young boys. Hello. Our governor just passed a bill a couple of weeks ago, SB 145, making pedophilia not a felony any longer. That breaks my heart. I taught on that last week. Jesus said, if anyone stumbles one of my little children, it would be better if you had a millstone around your neck and were cast in the deepest part of the sea. And here they show up. Why? They cried out, bring these men out that we might have sex with them. The term is sodomy, sodomite. Today it's homosexual. Am I a homophobe? Absolutely not. The reason I deliver the truth of God's word is so God would set people free. Not just the homosexuals, but the drunkards and the liars and the murderers and the thieves and all. It's the truth of God's word that sets us free. I love the homosexual. I have prayed homosexuals into the kingdom of heaven with AIDS in Palm Springs, wrapping my arms around them, weeping with them, and leading them in the sinner's prayer. Am I a homophobe? Absolutely not. I love them enough to tell the truth. And here we see that Lot says, and this blows me away too. You know what Lot said to the angel, to the guys trying to break the door down? He calls them brothers. My brothers, do not do so wickedly. And they began to break down the door, and it was then that the angel struck them with blindness. How sad it is when there's such blatant homosexuality in a city, in a state, in a nation. And again, look what we've done. And I'm not bashing sodomites or homosexuals. We've even legalized marriage in America. I mean, come on now. How much longer can God wait before judgment has to come? I think the pedophilia thing recently is almost the last straw. It's usually the last straw before a nation is destroyed. And it was then that the angel said, if you have anyone else in the house, son-in-laws, daughters, take them out of this place because fire is coming. This is heavy too. This is really sad. You know that Lot's testimony was so bad to his family that his own son-in-law thought he was joking. Ah, come on, Lot. They thought he was joking. And you know what? They perished in the fire. How sad. And I always have to take an inventory with God's word. Is my testimony as a Christian, as a man of God, lukewarm? Is it so cold that people would mock if I warned them and say, come on now, give me a break. Look at you. How's our witness in the church today? Are you concerned with people perishing? I am, like never before. And it's not by coincidence that we have this text before us today. We don't need to go outside this place and bash people. There's not a Christian that was beaten into the kingdom of heaven. We were loved to life, not beaten to death, because the Bible says it's the kindness and the goodness of God that draws us to repentance. People need to see that you love them, not physically, but spiritually, that you have the truth. It would be like having the cure for COVID right here in my hands and just keeping it to myself. Mine. We have the words of eternal life. We have the key to heaven. We have the answer to everything. Because when you read in 1 Corinthians 6, Galatians 5 and all, it lays out a list of those that will not inherit the kingdom of God. And here we have the truth. We have the answer. We have the cure, Jesus Christ. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to live like Lot? You know, unfortunately, a lot of Christians look a lot like Lot. Sad, sad, lukewarm. Guess who was saved? Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. They had to be pulled by the hand. The angels had to pull them out of Sodom. And guess what? Mrs. Lot looked back because her heart was still in Sodom, and God turned her into a pillar of salt. Don't look back. Is your heart fixed on things of this world, or is your heart fixed on heaven? That's the key. We have to be very, very careful. And then the Lord, it says, rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah from heaven. Lot's wife looked back. How sad. Don't look back. And she became a pillar of salt. The rest of the story, as you know, right out of the lips of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, all of Sodom went up like the smoke of a furnace. And you know what? It's going to happen again. Global warming is coming. And it's not the Al Gore kind. It's going to be fire from heaven. Not because Pastor Joe says, but because Jesus Christ says. And I'm just delivering his word to you. Not because I want to condemn you or damn you, but because I love you enough to tell you the truth. That's the bottom line. They're coming in the door. Don't look back. Jesus, even so, verse 30, notice what he says. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, would you say that the story of Noah and the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah is here? Are we not living in times like that? When the Son of Man is revealed, there'll be wickedness, violence, corruption, sodomy. God saw then, God sees now. He sees everything. He's omniscient. He knows everything. How much longer? And again, I have to ask myself, is God sorry again that he created man on the earth? Man, why? Because we're a sorry mess. Look up, folks. Don't look back. Where's your heart? Oh, yes, physically. Lot's wife was out of Sodom, but her heart was still there. Are you holding on to things of this world? Or are you holding on to Jesus Christ? 33. Back up 32. Remember Lot's wife. Nope, back up. I'm sorry. 31. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Don't go to your storage place when the trump of God sounds. So much stuff. One of my greatest blessings, I believe, in heaven is all my stuff stays here. Yeah, I appreciate what I have. Praise be to God. Well, we can get anchored down with stuff, can't we? Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. And again, are you living for you? Are you selfish, self-centered, selfies? Or are you living for Jesus Christ? We were lied to as little kids. We learned finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Is that true? That's not what this says. Finders, weepers, losers, keepers. That's what the Bible says. And I think it's so important to recognize and to realize that the best is yet to come. I tell you, in that night, there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken, and the other left. The rapture of the church, the harpazo. And again, you know what? When the rapture takes place, there will be churches that will meet the following Sunday, services as usual. I would not want to be that pastor. When all hell breaks loose, and the church is gone, caught up to meet the Lord in the air, wedding supper of the Lamb, 7 years of bliss, while fire and brimstone will be beating on this planet. Man, oh man. That's why the truth of God's word is so important, isn't it? Man, we need to be ready. Notice. And they answered and said to him, where, Lord? And so he said to them, wherever the body is, the eagles will be gathered together. What's that mean? Here's the picture. Kind of a gross one. Eagles swoop down on carcasses. Civilization is like a rotting carcass. Ripe for judgment. And again, look what's going on. The good news as we close. Man, I'm 5 minutes early this morning. I'll see what I can do to prolong this. No, just kidding. The all important thing is we would be discerning believers, right? Beware of false prophets. Beware of all this other junk going on. Discern the time. No man knows the day or the hour, but we do know the season. With Noah and with Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, I'd say the season is here. Be discerning, believer. Be a wise Christian. Wisdom. Jesus said, if any man asks for wisdom, God will give it to him. James says that as well. Ask God for wisdom. Ask him for discernment. Ask him to show you these truths, and he will. The wise Christian sees the evidence, as in Noah's day, as in Lot's day. The return of Jesus Christ for his church could be at any time. Like it says here. Two men, one will be taken away, two women in the field. One is at night, the other is during the day, meaning in this world, night or day, there's going to come a time when the rapture will take place and we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, those of us who know him. And as we close, are you looking for his return? Are you looking for him to come? Or are you looking for November 3rd? Oh, that's answered all our problems. November 3rd, really? You think so? I don't think so. I don't think that's the end of it. I'm not a prophet. I'm not saying I'm a prophet. But I think it could get worse yet. I really do. Because we live in the days of Noah. We live in the time of Lot. And the bottom line for all of us is to keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. Stay in the Word. Stay in fellowship. Stay on your knees. Stay in prayer. We're closer than ever. That should excite us to be watching and waiting and witnessing and working because we are close to the finish line. As we close, I always give an invitation. Those watching by YouTube or those that are here today, do you know that if the trumpet would sound that you'd be in heaven? Or will you be left behind? It's interesting. It's called left. Unless you get right, I'm not talking politics, folks, but it's not by coincidence. Unless you get right, you're going to get left. And again, I tell you this because I love you. I want to see you in heaven. I don't know where all of your hearts are at. But all I'm called to do is just to put the good news out there, the gospel out there, and allow you to receive the greatest gift ever to mankind. And to become one of the greatest miracles that ever happened to mankind, to be born again, to be a Christian, to be a citizen of heaven. And if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ and have all your sins forgiven, a new heart, a new mind, a new home in heaven, all the wonderful things that come with salvation, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Because the trumpet can sound at any second, anyone, as we close. You guys are good? We better get out there and bring some sinners in here. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. It's not to condemn us. It's to challenge us to be conformed in the image of Jesus Christ. If there's anybody watching by YouTube that would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ, dear Lord Jesus, pray with me. Please forgive me for all of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord and be my Savior as I give my life to you and I thank you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Seal me for the day of redemption. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that on YouTube, get into a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Call us on the phone. Let us know. Let's all stand one more time. Ryan has a closing song for us here. And again,